teach with us today. Looking forward to that. But I'm going to just share the Bible reading first. It's from 1 Peter 4. Are we on the screen, Dan? Is it on the screen? Let's do it on the screen. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 to 6, 12 to 19. Let's read this. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in this reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regards to the body, but living according to God in regards to the spirit. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. I'm going to ask Lee, who's going to come up and share around those passages for us. Come on, Lee. Pass on the microphone.
So well, it was read it better than I did. I read really well in my head, and I can really get into it, but then when I read out loud, yeah. But God is good. Let me just. Amen. Just want to just commit this time just to God in prayer, if that's all right. Father, I thank you that you are a good, good God. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that it's less of me and more of you, that you will be glorified, Lord, that your word will go back and not come back void, that it will go out and not come back void, sorry, Lord, that it will reach where it needs to reach. And Lord, I just honour your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So that scripture, you know, on a personal level, it's been like a crazy month. I'm not going to go into stuff, you know, some of you know little things, but as a family, we've really come under the cosh where the enemy's concerned. And sometimes when I was reading that scripture, I was relieved when I was reading that scripture, because I don't know about you, but sometimes you feel like you're doing this on your own. You feel like, what am I doing wrong? You know, why does it feel like everything is against us? And then I was reading that scripture. I was sat in Costa Coffee and I was just reading it. And I actually had to get up and go into the toilet because I could just feel that I was just going to break down in the middle of Costa. And I'm thinking, you know, God is good and he's got me back. You know, I shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel, and I'm not, by the way. And I shouldn't be surprised when I'm coming under attack, because the enemy wants to take me out. The enemy wants to take you out. Anyone that glorifies God, that says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, will come under scrutiny. They will come under attack. Why? Because we're doing something right. We're keeping focus on God. No matter how many times we fall, we must get back up. No matter how many punches are thrown at us, we must keep moving forward, because someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we must give a good account. We must, no matter what comes our way, stand for what we believe in. We must declare the goodness of God. We must say, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because the enemy wants to take you out. He wants to break you. He will use your family. He will use your workplace and everything else. He will use that, what will affect you. But you've got to stand. You know, one thing I'm learning is to get up quicker. You know, in the past, things have happened and I've just crumbled and I've needed people around me. And it's good, get good counsel, get good circles in your life. Get people in your life that are going to encourage you, that are going to build you up no matter what you're going through. But learn to get up, because sometimes there might not be anybody around, so you've got to get yourself up. You've got to encourage yourself. Just before I carry on, I've got a clip I want to show you. Now, I've seen this clip a million times, and I found myself looking for this clip on the internet because it always just blessed me. And just before we play this clip, I just want to kind of just break it down a little bit. So there was a runner, an athlete, Durrett Redmond, years ago, and he was at the top of his game, and he was about to run the race of his life, and he was a favourite to win this race. You know, it was a no-brainer. He was a bookie's favourite. He was everyone's favourite to win this race. And as he starts and he's prepared himself, and we can feel prepared in life to face anything, but we don't know what's around the corner. And during this race, right at the beginning of this race, he took injury and he fell. But there's something in him, something deep inside him said, get up. This is my race. I've got to finish this race. This was everything in my career was aimed towards. I have got to finish my race. You know, the Bible says that we're called to finish. We so often think life is like a sprint, but it's more like a marathon. And you know what, loved ones, we've got to finish our race. We've got to keep fighting the good fight. We've got to stand for who God is and who we are in him. And you know what? There's just this beautiful moment where he can barely move, but he's continuing and he's going through pain. And, you know, Jesus never said that life was going to be easy. He never said that we was going to go through life just smiling and everything was hunky-dory. You know, sometimes we've got to take off the rose-tinted glasses. But what he does promise is that with him, we can get through anything. Because the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. But we have to apply the word, not just read it. It's a great book. It's a mixture of 66 books that make a great read. But until we apply the powerful word of God to our life, it stays on here. So can we play this clip? Cheers, Dan. Powerful. Powerful illustration of the love of God. When you're down, when you fall, when you're in trouble, and you know the enemy wants to sort of separate you, but we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, for every negative person that is trying to crush your spirit, there's a million people that are trying to champion you on. We just don't realise it, because it's like everything. We can buy new clothes and put them on and feel fantastic, and loads of people can say, oh, I really like them pants, oh, I like them trainers, you look great. But then there's that one person that says, oh, I don't really like them, they don't suit you. And you listen to the negative, because we're drawn to the negative. But you know, God is championing us on today. Right now, in this moment, God, you know, that plan that God promises us that we're going to have, he's got a good plan for our life. Plan to prosper us, to give us hope and a future. The enemy will say, you know what? You've got nothing. You're done. Your race is done. You're finished. Stay down. But we have a choice. We have a choice. And this is the thing about God. He's always there. He's too high to get over. He's too low to... He's too high to get over. He's too deep to get under. And he's too wide to get round. He loves us that much. But the enemy wants to distort your vision of God because of a bad day. Because of things aren't going right. Things are just not happening. Why is my family being persecuted? Why are things going wrong with my job? Why am I financially struggling? Why? And we ask these questions and we're looking for an answer that's not there, because what we should be doing is saying, God, I don't get it. I don't even understand what's going on, but I am trusting in you. I am trusting in you. And it's until I let go of my carnal thoughts, when I look at the situation and I think, why me? And I begin to get my little violin out, because I'm thinking, woe is me. But I forget the goodness of God. I forget that God, he's not my get out of jail card. He's not my bank manager. He's just my provider. He provides everything I need and more. Why? Because he loves me, and time again. And I am far from perfect. Thank God I'm not perfect, because it means I need a saviour. Thank God that he can interrupt me having a latte in Costa Coffee and break my heart again, because he wants to do a work in me, because he's not finished with me yet. And I thank God that he constantly reminds me how much he loves my family. And I know he loves yours, but right now on this moment, when I'm stood here, I'm being selfish, because God loves me. God loves me, and he loves my family. And I know that if I can just let go and let God, he'll do that work. Do you know, just like Derek Redmond, I started off strong. I felt like, you know what, I've done this and I've done that and I'm ready for the next step. And I fell hard, and I didn't want to get back up. It would have been quite easy to just say, do you know what, Leslie, I don't feel like going to church today. I don't even feel like going to work. And I didn't. I felt like I could have gone to bed, pulled the cover over me. Listen, I'm an emotional guy, and you know, so I don't apologise for getting upset. But there was a moment just recently where I could have quite easily thrown the towel in. I just thought, you know what, I'm done. I can't take any more trauma. Just like the disciples of old, Lord, do I not do this? Have I not done that? And it became about me. And God reminded me it was all about him. If I would just stop being the barrier, if I would just stop getting in the way and allow God to move. And that's what we did. And I began to worship God through my pain. We began to pray more. We began to read more. We began to just say, you know what, God? You know, when we say sing praise, we should sing praise. When we raise a hallelujah in front of our enemy, it should be loud enough for him to hear. Not, I raise a hallelujah. Sometimes we have to get desperate, and I know God's not deaf. I know God's not deaf. I know it's not about there's a time and a place for screaming and shouting. But you know what? Sometimes in my pain, I need to be loud. I need to be loud, because I need to let the enemy know that God is good, that he's got me back. And you know, last week when we, it's like every single song was like, I'm sure like Dave and the band have just been spying on me. It's like every single song I was like, oh no. And you're like, you're looking to the floor because you're thinking, if I make eye contact with one person, I'm just going to burst into tears. But you know what? It's all right. It's all right not to be all right in church. We can't keep coming in and having a false pretense and saying, you know what? Are you all right, Lee? Yeah. Are you sure? Yeah. You know, we're struggling, but we don't open up. But we should come alongside each other and say, you know what? Actually, I need some spiritual covering. I need someone to pray with me. I need someone to really do some business with me, because we're not on our own. It's not a marathon. It's not a sprint where God fires a gun in life and we just run to the finish line. It's not. And that is why sometimes, like a small child, our legs get too quick for our body and kids are falling all the time, because we're choosing to sprint in a race that's meant to be run. And we learn things along the way. Do you know, I was reading it in, you know, if anyone can tell me how to keep an iPad open for longer than 2 seconds, you know, come and see me at the end. But I was reading in Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? And that is so true. You know, we hear in Romans, if God is for me, then who can be against me? But, you know, sometimes we're guilty of scripture becomes like puns in church, because we know them. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 and, you know, Psalm 91, and we can fire out all these, you know, what's saying really good. But when we look at the context of what the scriptures say, we should be standing boldly before Satan and telling him, forcing him behind us, and not accepting what he throws at us. You know, when I was reading that scripture in 1 Peter, I was like, at first it was hard to read, because it was like, wow, yeah, it's spot on. It's about where I'm at right now in this moment. That is my life scripture. It's where I'm at. I'm out all the time and I share the gospel and I feel like I'm a good witness, and I'm telling people at work, and I'm telling people, you know, at the lighthouse. And, you know, I took about 15 of those, and I think they thought I was stealing them, but I was giving them out, the great points of contact. But still in between that, it was like, for everything good I felt I was doing, I was getting a smack every 2 minutes, and I'm like, whoa, I don't get it. And the peace was not there. The joy didn't seem to be there. But then I read this scripture, and I realise that I'm not alone. That people, especially as Christians, we go through things. But we still, you know, my title today would be, never give up. Never give up. No matter what you're going through, never give up. Because if you start to show signs that you're becoming lethargic, the enemy will come in. The enemy will have a field day, but we've got to get up. We've got to keep getting up. We've got to keep praising God. This is church. It's the real deal. There's only one truth on this planet, and it's the truth of the gospel. Everything else is secondary and counterfeit and sugar-coated to draw you this way and draw you that way, away from the truth of God. See, the truth is, we struggle. The truth is, as much as I want to live in the spirit, I'm still made of flesh. So I have to fight the things of the world. But I don't have to fight them on my own. I don't have to be some kind of martyr and think, you know, oh, I'll just take it all because I'm a Christian, and I'll carry every single burden on my back and never share it. And every time someone asks me if I'm all right, I'll say, yeah, I'm all right, when I'm not. When actually, one of the greatest strengths that we can have as Christians is when we say, you know what? I need help. I need somebody to come alongside me. In fact, you know what? God, I just need you to Meet me in my hour of need right now, because I haven't got it all together and I am struggling and I do have to live in the flesh and that there are things going on in my world that I'm just not crazy about. But I know that you've got a plan. I know that your purposes for my family and for my children are good. And that they're that good, right? And this is how I've changed my mindset this week. The purposes of God for my family are that good, are that powerful, that the enemy is making his business to try and spoil it. See, my family have got potential. My girls have got crazy potential to be warrioresses for the kingdom of God. And Satan knows that. He knows that they pose a threat. He knows that God has got amazing things, so he tries to take them out all the time. And he'll use all kind of crazy things. And God keeps reminding me, no, you know what? I have the final say. You know, I went to Uganda a few years ago and was in this crusade. And I think Donna was not here, but I think Donna, it was the first time, oh, Georgie. And remember that song? When Jesus say yes, nobody can say no. And I started singing that this morning because I'm reminded that no matter what is going on, Jesus has the final say. God is the full authority in our lives, not the devil. He's a defeated foe. He's done with. He's finished. The Bible says that Jesus has all authority. That means the devil's got none, brother. Because all is an absolute word. Jesus never said, I have some, I have a bit, I have a portion of authority. He says, I have all authority. That means if you said yes to Jesus, if you said, Lord, come into my life, change me from the inside, that same authority is in us so that we can turn around and say, you know what? Satan, you have no power over my life. You have no authority over my family's life, so go in the name of Jesus. And I found myself this week, and I'm preaching from my personal circumstances. I'm not testifying because God's still doing that work. I'm declaring through my pain how good God is, because we can't just sit there and think that everything's all right and we all clap in church and we put our hands up and then we go and do our same things. You know what? Dave said it this week. We was talking. It was nice to just minister with Dave with some of the people at the lighthouse. And, you know, and I've used this illustration myself many times about going to church. It's a bit like a mobile phone. Most people, like, when the phone starts going dead, you start holding your breath, thinking, oh, my God, I need to charge my phone. And it's like church is like that lifeline plugging, that power source that plugs you into God. You know, so keep coming to church so that you can get filled, so that you can get blessed. But it's so you can go back out. It's so you can go back. Because real church is Monday. Because this is just a building, and a lovely building it is, but church is us. We're the kingdom of God. We're the building blocks of the church. And if we're not in full effect, other people will not get the benefit. So we've got to make sure that we're in the word, that we're praying, that we're worshipping. You know, it's lovely to come and hear the band lead us in worship, but it's not entertainment. They should be leading us into the presence of God so that we can worship with them, so that we can glorify God with them. And I love the fact the way it's set out in here, because it takes that distraction. Because I've been to churches in the past where you can be so focused on the lights and the musicians and the instruments that it takes a little bit of the focus. I remember our first time coming here and we was just holding hands in tears, because for a long time we'd not focused on the words that we were declaring, the words that are on the screen, that our hearts should be crying out to God in our times, not just of trouble, but of joy. Because it's not like, it's quite a miserable sort of life, isn't it? If all we do in church is break, all we do in life is just, we're picking ourselves up off the floor. You know, we should be worshipping God in the good times and the bad times. You know, the strength that we have is our joy. It's not, I'm a Christian. Yeah, good church on Sunday. Yeah, I'll see you next week. No, we should be excited about God. Do you know, I come most alive the moment I start talking about Jesus. I do. I'm reminded what he's done for me and what he's doing for me and what he's going to do for me because he loves me so much. You know, what is the mantle above your door? What does it say above your door? Does it say, you know what, I'm a Christian. I'm only human, but I believe in God. I believe he loves me. I believe he loves you. I'm not without struggles. I'm not without problems. But I've got a big God. I've got a big God that is willing every single time I call out to him to rescue me. That's what the Bible says. If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Every single time, Ernie. Not just salvation, not just a one-time prayer when we say, forgive me. But every time we call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be there in an instant. In an absolute instant. I've seen it over and over again. And I am, you know what, the three best decisions I ever made in my life. One was to say yes to Jesus, yes to Leslie, and yes to being a dad. They were my three best decisions I've ever made. You know what? Wasn't the three easiest, but they were the three best. Leslie's probably thinking, yeah, whatever. You're still not getting Sunday dinner. With God on your side, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, to be afraid of. Fear is of the enemy. Fear is of the enemy. God said that he didn't give us a spirit of fear. Fear is of the enemy. It distorts your vision of God. You can go from feeling like, oh, I had a great time on Sunday. It was lovely. It was fantastic. It was great. And then something will hit you and you crumble because you were allowing fear to get in. Fear is not of God. We have got to start practicing what we preach to others. Does that mean we're never going to struggle? No, of course we will. It's guaranteed. But Jesus said, he never said, choose me and that's it. No more problems. It'll be absolutely fantastic. You'll float through life. No, he didn't say that. He actually said the opposite. You know, they persecuted him first. They hated him, so they're going to hate us. But you know what? I've never wanted to be hated so much in my life. By the enemy. I want the enemy to hate me. I love the fact that Satan hates my family. Because even in my mess, it shows who I belong to. It shows who I belong to, who Leslie belongs to, who the kids belong to. Because you know what? Something about my girls is they'll do their own thing, but they always come back. Because there's something in them that draws them. Yeah? No matter how the conversations go, there's always a coming back. I don't have to worry. Sometimes I carry unnecessary worry as a parent, but I don't have to truly worry because I know that, number one, God, he's just got it. Number two, I've got good people that stand with me in prayer, that support me spiritually. That I know the moment I send a text or pick up a phone or rock up at the door, that they'll stop what they're doing and pray. Because prayer is powerful. Prayer, remember the bands? Push, pray until something happens. That's what we should do. And then when something happens, guess what we do then? Pray. The Bible says, pray without giving up. Pray without stopping. Pray without ceasing. Do you know what? If your prayer life is weak, make it stronger. Because, you know what? The brilliance of prayer is no one can stop you. The enemy could put his hand over your mouth and he still can't stop your heart from praying. Do you know what I mean? It goes up to God. It goes up to God, and I have seen God move in amazing ways. You know, I'll share a very quick testimony now. So me and Leslie was at home a few weeks ago. We've been home since. We don't have like a holiday home somewhere. So we was at home a couple of weeks ago, and we was going through it to the point where, come on, couples, be honest now, where you start biting at each other. And we was just annoying one another. And I said, come on, let's go. Costa Coffee's our retreat, yeah? So I said, let's go to Costa Coffee. And we was just driving down, and we just began in the car. It was like the Holy Spirit just filled the car, didn't it, love? The Holy Spirit just filled the car, and we just began to cry. We needed a miracle. We needed a reminder of how good God was. Lord, we just needed hope. And this is what we began to pray in the car. And right there, and Leslie will back me up, this rainbow, massive rainbow just appeared in front of the car, didn't it? And I jumped out to try and take a picture. The moment I set my camera up, it disappeared. Just this massive rainbow. Honestly, though, it weren't even raining. Just this massive rainbow right in front of the... Right over Costa Coffee. And then it disappeared. But it was enough to remind us that hope came in. That hope is in our situation. That God is not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. He's not going to abandon me. He loves me too much. He loves you too much. You know, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your circumstances are. But what I do know is never, ever give up. Never stop pressing. Never stop pushing forward. No matter where you are in your race, if you feel that you've tore something, if you feel that you can't possibly go on, remember there's something extra in the tank. Just get up. Because the moment you step up and press forward, God will meet you every time. And you know, God will be the guy in the stand that will push people out of the way, that will move obstacles, will move situations to carry you when you feel like you can't go on any further. God will be the one that will pick you up every single time. Do you know the brilliance of that? Well, it was brilliant for Derek Redmond. It weren't so good for the winner, because he didn't even get a round of applause, really. But you know what? This is what I'm talking about. You know, the host of heaven. Hey, we talked about that this week, didn't we? All the host in heaven and the King of Kings are championing you on when you cross that finish line through your pain. You know, when you've, you know, it was too much for him to run off, but it was too much for him to stay down. He had to finish his race. You know what? We have to finish our race, no matter what's going on, no matter what we're facing, no matter how bad things get, Jimmy, no matter how bad things get, brother, keep moving forward. You know, our heart can feel like it's going to burst out of our chest, that we've got nothing going on in our lives, that we've got nothing positive going in our lives, but we can keep moving forward. We can make a choice today to say, you know what, God, I don't even get it. I don't even understand fully if I get you sometimes, but I get enough to keep moving forward. Sometimes we just have to have faith like a child. That blind faith that says, you know what? I'm just going to follow you. I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to lay down my carnal mindset, my carnal knowledge that says, I'll debate this and I'll debate that, and I'll look for evidence of this, and I'll just trust you. Just like if your parent puts his hand out to a child, that child reaches for the hand because it totally has 100% trust in their parent that it's going to lead them somewhere safe. That's what we need to do. We need to put our trust in God. He's not done with us yet. Never give up. Don't stop. Don't stop. No matter how hard it feels, no matter what it feels coming against you, don't stop. Your breakthrough is on its way. You know, sometimes we've got to go out and sing in the rain when it don't make sense. You know, when everything comes crashing around us, be the only voice that's singing. You know, I remember reading this article, and there was a drought in Texas, and all the local churches had come together, and they were put on the board, and we're going to pray for rain. On the poster, we're going to pray for rain. And all these churches, and Texas is quite a big place, and all these people came, and they met in a big, massive barnyard. And they're all coming in, getting out of the trucks. And there was one little 8-year-old girl who came, and it was scorching weather. Everything had dried up. And this little 8-year-old girl had a brolly in her hand. And as she walked in, there were people laughing at her. Why have you brought a brolly? Well, I thought we were praying for rain. I want that faith. That's the faith I want. That's the faith we need. That regardless of how we see situations, we believe what we're asking for. Oh, don't ask. Because God is good. And his love endures forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand. No, just before I hand back to Dave, I'm just going to close in prayer. And there should always be a response to God. There should always be a response to the need. And we all have that same need. We all need God. Every single one of us. No matter how many years we've been in church, whether you're on the worship band, whether you're a steward or a deacon or you're just sat in the congregation, we all need God, every single one of us. It's when we stop feeling that we need God that we've got a problem. Now, my prayer this morning, number one, is for myself and my family, but it's for God to keep invading our world. For when we facing trials and tribulations and all these struggles, that we turn to God. Not to the world, not to bank managers or not to whatever it is the need is, that we turn first to God. Because when God gets our attention, just watch what he can do. Watch what God can do. He is so powerful. He works in the mundane, but he works in the extraordinary. He works in every single part of our lives. You know, we sing songs, you know, even though we don't see it, you're working. That has never been so true. It's never been so true. God is working behind the scenes. The Bible says that he never sleeps. He's a busy God. Because you know what? We're only human. And we mess up. And we trip up, and we slip up. We say things we don't mean, and mean things we don't say. You know, we mess up. We do mess up. We need a God. We need our God in heaven that loves us to invade our world. Me and Leslie, we need God. We need God more now than we've ever needed him. But we're learning to trust again. We're learning to let go of everything and just allow God. So let's just pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are everything we need and more. You are such a mighty God. Father, forgive us, Lord God, when we've struggled and we've been in pain and we've not cried out to you. Forgive us when we feel like we've shouldered it and it's just brought us to the point of breaking. I pray for every single individual in this place right now, in this hub, in this home, in your house, God. I pray for every single person, Lord God, because I know that we'll all have our own battles, that we'll all be fighting our own battles, Lord. I just pray, God, Father, right now that you will just invade earth, Father, in this earth right now, that you will just invade our situations right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will send provision, that you will send peace, that you will send hope, you will send joy, you will send your salvation, Father, right now, that your Holy Spirit will just fall in this place right now, that you will begin to minister, Lord God, to each and every one of us. You know our hearts, God. You know everything that's going on, good and bad. Lord, that you will just meet the needs of all the people in this place right now. And Father, I just want to pray for all our children, young and old. Lord, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would, Lord, for those that seem like they're a million miles away from you, that you will draw them back in. Lord, for those that the enemy is having a field day, Father, we rebuke him. We render him powerless right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and we command him to let go of our children right now in Jesus' name. And Lord God, that you will bring them back, that you will call them home. Lord God, that you will keep them safe wherever they are. Father, right now in Jesus' name, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. And the Lord, I ask that you put angels to guard this church, to watch over Dave and Alison and the leadership team, Lord God, as they continue to journey in leading us, Lord God, into your presence. Lord, as they continue to help us to grow more in you, Lord God, that you will give them every resource they need and more. Lord, that no weapon formed against Dave and Alison will prosper. Lord God, that you will guard their hearts, Lord God, and guard their minds, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thanks, Dave.